listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Edge with your weekly news on the informative News with a Voice. Let's get right into it. This is DJ Edge on the informative News with a Voice. In our first segment today, we're going to do a recap and update with what DU Create is up to. For those of you who don't know what DU Create is, it's a group on the Dominican campus who's showing you the real DU and what it's like to be a Dominican student from a student's perspective, which is much different from the administration's perspective of what they think we're doing. So we have a member here of this group, and his name is Min, and he's the secretary of DU Create. Say hello, Min.
Hello, everybody.
So, Min, what is DU Create up to right now?
Well, so far, we have the two trailers released through the Instagram and Facebook, and we finally released our full first episode of the DU Create on Facebook webpage.
Well, that sounds pretty interesting. And is there anything else that the DU Create group is going to be doing in the next couple weeks?
We'll be creating a poster, and also we'll be releasing a blooper and shorter version of the full-length video because, you know, some of us don't have much time to watch full 2 minutes, so we're going to try making on that.
Okay, that's actually really interesting. So as we heard a couple shows ago, you're a transfer student here at Dominican. How has that affected your Dominican experience?
Well, I went to the City College of San Francisco beforehand. So at that school, I didn't have much friends, just one or two close friends I'm keeping in touch with. So basically, my opinion is that in City College, people are just trying to transfer out to go to four-year college to get a bachelor's degree. So it's very like school community, like a studying purpose, but in Dominican, people try to connect with each other. There's ASDU, a lot of club activities. So I really like the Dominican experience so far from the Trans City College.
Okay, so people are just more school focused and they aren't really concentrated on their social lives and making friends and building a community?
That's my opinion, yes.
Yeah, I think that's what I've seen before in community colleges. So what was your experience in South Korea? Because that's where you're from, right?
Mm-hmm. So what kind of experience are you asking?
So what memories do you have there? What differences is there that you stand out between the U.S. and South Korea?
Oh, okay. So in Seoul, where I live, there's always no light. Like after midnight, there's always doors open, karaoke bar, and a lot of people hanging out at the park. So there's no night in Seoul, like where I lived. So whenever my friends wants to go at like a 2 a.m., oh, let's go to park. And then we just hang out at the park. So it's very leisurely compared to where I live right now.
So there's no nightlife. So there's no bars that you could go to or like other than this karaoke club that you speak of?
There's like a bar, which is like we in Korea, it's famous for chicken and beer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So you would like in Korea, would you rather go to a park or would you rather go to a bar?
I'd rather go to a bar.
Have you been to the bars in Korea?
Well, like a small, yeah, I've been to bars a couple times.
Now, what's the drinking age over there?
I believe it's 19 or 18, but I'm not positive.
Okay, yeah. So it's younger than here, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you think that that's like, is that the norm there to drink and go to bars when you're an 18-year-old?
I'm pretty sure people drink before 18.
Okay.
But the legal buying, there's a difference buying and drinking. So there's a legal buying drinking, but there's no legal drinking age.
Okay, so yeah. There's two ages then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow. Well, fact of the day, learn something new. So where are the major changes in education over there? Or is it similar, or how do you feel about that?
Well, okay, so in Korea, elementary school is 6 years, and middle school is 3 years, and high school is 3 years. And for the high school-wise, there's like a, for art school, I'm pretty sure United States has that, and there's some science-focused. And sometimes, so in high school, when I was there, we usually, like in US, we go to school around 8 a.m. and ends around 2 or 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I was there, like, we were forced to study till like 10 p.m. on our own, like after school-wise.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like sometimes I tried to get out of it, but it was like hard. I'm not sure about these days, but we used to go to school on Saturdays, but nowadays is we don't have to go to school on Saturdays now in Korea.
That is ridiculous. It is Saturdays. Ridiculous.
Yep.
So how old were you when you came over here?
I was 16, I believe, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you experienced going to school on Saturdays, yes?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. And the school kept you till 10 p.m. or your parents made you do it?
School, but in high school, not middle school.
That's ridiculous. Do you feel like the courses in Korea for your equivalent of high school are more difficult than here? Or do you feel like it's about the same? Or
I would say it's about the same, but some... In a wise, like some math problem can be some, there's like a advanced levels classes. So I'm not sure how I feel about the high school here, because in my high school, when I went to United States, there's no advanced level. There's AP level, but when I was in high school back in those days, like a 3-2 levels, I believe. I'm not sure. There's like a more than like a 10% of the people goes to the class and other people just go to the other class.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So why did you decide to come to school over here? Was it your parents' decision or your decision?
It was a mix. When I was in high school during the first year, I was going to the newspaper and there's like an advertisement for exchange student. So, oh, that seems interesting. So I went to the place and then we talked about it. So why not give it a try for 1 year? And then I went to Pennsylvania State and then that's how I got started.
Okay, so you went to Penn State, and then where'd you go from there?
Oh, no, not Penn State. So when it's okay. So when I was in high school, the state was Pennsylvania, so that's where I started.
Oh, okay, yeah. Got you. So where did you go to school first?
I went to, it's called Capital Christian Fellowship Academy in Pennsylvania, yes.
Okay, and then where'd you go from there?
Oh, I went to Sacramento, so it's called... I forgot the school name, but I did went there and then I went to City College and then I came here and I went back to military service to finish my service in Korea, which was mandatory for men. And then I came back to here to City College and then I transferred back here and I'm graduating in 1 year.
Okay, wait a second there. You just skipped over all that stuff. I didn't know that. So it's mandatory to be a military member. In Korea?
Yes, that is correct.
For all men?
Yes.
Okay. And it's not, so it's kind of like a draft situation.
Mm-hmm. Because we're in Korea's technically in a war still.
Okay.
Yes.
So what did you have to do?
Well, it depends on the people, but so mostly it's 2 years. I'm not sure about how long it's these days. So for me, I went through the 6 weeks of boot camp and I was stationed in just a public place, so public service personnel. So I help with the like equivalent of DMB, but it's better than US. So I help with the community services, which is paperwork, and there's a community classes. So pretty much I help the community.
Okay, so part of the military work that you do over there is helping out different communities, is that right?
That is right, yeah.
Okay, so it's not only being an active military participant.
Oh, some people go for the military participant. It's just random.
Oh, okay. So you don't choose. You just get assigned somewhere.
Yes, based on their physical exam, yeah.
Oh, okay. So say you're, like, really weak. You'd get put in, like, I don't know. You'd get put in, like, computer work. Or if you're really strong, you would get put in, like, armed forces or something.
I believe so, yeah. There's sometimes you can go to the Navy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the Marine? Yeah, Marine. Yeah. Some people go to Marine. They choose to go to Marine. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's pretty interesting. So when you arrived at Dominican, first of all, how did you choose Dominican?
Well, I looked into a lot of schools such as UC Davis, San Francisco State, USF. And I cut down to USF and Dominican, and USF was in the city and it was really crowded. I'm not a city person, so Dominican was the only lab I get to choose.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So once you got to Dominican, let's hear your major and then let's hear how old you were when you arrived.
So I chose as a nursing major, and then I was a waitlist for 2 or 3 semesters. I'm not remember. I don't remember how old I was, but it was in 2014. What year is it? 2016.
Yeah.
2014. And then I believe I was 24, 25. I stopped counting the age. So, and then I choose to be a public health major, my personal choice. And I really liked it because I get stressed out. And also I realized that I like to focus on prevention rather than the care of the patients.
Okay, so preventing the patient from even getting into the situation that they're in.
Yeah, and then I get to educate the patients. I mean, pre-patient, I will say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty interesting, actually. So the different colleges that you... Is it colleges that you went before Dominican?
City College, San Francisco Community College. Yes, colleges.
Okay. So the different colleges that you went to before, you were saying that community college has a different feel, but can you tell us a little bit more specifically about those two colleges and your experience there? Like, what was your major?
Okay, so first I went to Sacramento City College. I was a chem and bio major, and I took some chemistry majors, but I was really struggling with this, so I changed to nursing, so I was taking the prereqs. And then for the City College of San Francisco, it was more city-wise than Sacramento because it's more fun, and then the classes were fun because, I mean, some students can be friendly, but mostly was academic focused. So I would say college is more have fun than studying, but so it's dependent on the person. For me, it was more studying, and most of the students were.
Okay, that makes sense. So, why do you like Dominican better than the other colleges?
Of course, because people are friendly. I get to know people more person to person, and then the professor and student ratios are really low, and we have more connection than community college.
Okay, so tell me what your favorite class was at Dominican so far.
So far? Wow, I have to choose that. I took Polaco class
and okay.
One unit class with the digital imaging when I was a wait list. It was a weekend class. It was really fun. Like, I do like the web design because I wanted to become a web designer when I was in middle school, but I stopped it because it's a lot of work for me. So I'll say, is it Stephen Polaco? Yeah, was my favorite class so far, I'll say. But I have other favorite, but if I have to choose one, because I didn't have to study theory much.
Okay, so isn't your sister a graphic designer?
Yes, she used to work at ESPN, now she works at Fox. So she's a graphic designer at Fox right now.
That is very cool. So have you picked up a little bit from what she's taught you?
She didn't teach me anything.
Oh, okay. So just kidding.
Yeah.
So you just found the interest on your own, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's pretty interesting. So, if you're just tuning in, this is DJ Edge on the Informative News with a Voice, and we're talking about DU Create, and we have Min, the secretary of the group, sharing his Dominican experience. So, the big question that everybody wants to know about other countries is the food better?
Well, it's very personal. So, I'm pretty sure everybody had Korean barbecues here. Have you had one, Edge?
I feel like I have.
So, I think that I didn't actually... I only tried Korean barbecue at a Korean restaurant one time. It was really sweet, but I don't know how really Korean barbecue restaurant in here works, but in Korea we have a lot of side dishes like a kimchi and other, we put in the lettuce, rice. So I'm pretty sure in Korean restaurant here they're more Americanized, but we have more variety of foods like noodle. It's more experiment-wise as well. So have you heard about the live squid?
Yeah. Yes,
we
I have.
We have that in Korean, and there's a street. There's a lot of junk food. I mean, Yes, it's, I'll say it's better because I haven't explored American food that much yet.
Okay, all right. I believe you, though, because I feel like Korean food would be really good. I've definitely had Korean barbecue a couple of times, and I thought it was really good. So I'm just going to agree with you on that one, because American food isn't very good. I don't know if you want to explore it. But anyway, so what do you think the major differences are between the U.S. and Korea?
I would say public transportation, because when I lived in Korea, like, not many people drive their own car. I mean, there's some few people. But public transportation is much easier to use, so the subway is very clean and the bus is clean, and sometimes it runs after midnight. Oh. And it's pretty cheap too. Like, when you go to from the between, like, in Seoul to Seoul, like, the minimum prices, I believe, is equivalent to $10 or $12 in the US. And then it can go up to, like, up to 20-ish. I'm not positive, but it's really worth it by using the public transportation when you go to Korea.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So what made you change majors? And do you think it's okay to change majors? And do you think it's normal?
I'll say it's normal because people get to... Not that many people choose what they want, I believe, because sometimes I know that parents force them to choose their major. But you write your own story, like, it's your life. Like, if your story is already written, what's the point of having a good life? So I'll say it's okay to change your major in whatever you want to do, but just don't drop out of school.
Look at that. Straight from men. Don't drop out of school. Don't do drugs, kids. So that was actually a really good quote. I like that.
Okay.
If your story is already written, what's the point? So thank you, Min, very much for sharing your Dominican experience. I think it's a very interesting part of this project that is not only to do with current Dominican students, because they get to see the diversity in their own community, but it shows all different sorts of backgrounds and perspectives on campus, and others can see how great of a community this is. Dominican students can join in on DU Creates conversation by posting a picture on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook of what the Dominican experience is to you. You can also post a picture or a video of a hidden talent you might have by using the hashtags DU Create and The Real DU. Check out their video that was released today on YouTube called DU Create Episode 1, all about their very first student spotlight, Megan Sherry. DU Create, showing you the real DU. We'll be back in a minute with our next segment, New in the News, on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Oh, damn, oh, damn, oh, damn, I'm so perplexed with just one breath I'm locked in. Oh, damn, oh, damn, oh, damn, I'm so perplexed on that it's almost shocking. I know, you're scared, your heart, your mind, your soul, your body. Yeah. They won't, they won't, they won't be careful, but I guess that you don't know me. Cause if I want you, and I want you, babe, then going backwards won't ask for space. This place was just a word made up by someone who's afraid to get to.
You're feeling, cause if I want you, then I want you.
On the informative News with a Voice, this is DJ Edge, and you're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Let's go on to our next segment, Hilarious Happenings. In our first story, it was April Fool's last week, so I'm going to share with you a few of the biggest pranks that were played. China's official news agency said April Fool's Day is un-Chinese. It stated it does not conform with our nation's cultural traditions, nor does it conform with the core values of socialism. Many users reacted with irony, saying that this is most amusing because the April Fool's news is saying that the news agency is seriously saying that April Fool's is un-Chinese. Don't believe the rumors. Even the Global Times, a paper close to the Communist Party, seemed to suggest that the agency needed to loosen up. It did that on Twitter, which is not available in China, so no one in China saw it. Which is super awkward. I don't know why they don't use Twitter in China. By the way, we have Zoe Studer on air right now. I forgot to tell you that. Say hi, Zoe.
Hi, guys.
This is probably one of the most dry April Fool's jokes ever, and I absolutely love it. Whoever thought of it is actually a secret genius, and I don't blame them for doing this. It wasn't even funny, but that's because they aren't funny, whoever did this. But it was funny because it wasn't funny. So good job, China. I think it would have been funnier if they had gone a little bit harder and said that April Fool's was banned from China, and then they got the government in on it to post on their social media outlets. That would have been hilarious. So I think that they could have done it a little bit better, but, you know, maybe each nation could play a prank on its people, and then the world would be united. I vote yes. So what the Middle East could do is say that women have equal rights, and then they could be like, no, just kidding. What do you think about this?
Well, I just think that it's funny that no one even took it as an April Fool's joke. They were just super angry about it.
I know. They were super pissed off. I think a lot of people forgot that it was April Fool's Day. I know I did. But I didn't get pranked, so there was no reason for me to be angry. But there, a lot of the jokes that I'm about to tell, people got a little bit pissed off about. So the next April Fool's joke was Google's. So Google's April Fool's prank this year completely backfired. They made an additional button on Gmail that allowed you to send a minion dropping a microphone at the end of your email. The instructions were simply reply to any email using the new send plus mic drop button. Everyone will get your message, but that's the last you'll ever hear about it. Yes, even if folks try to respond, you won't see it. The way it was implemented confused many users, and some used it in error, which caused serious problems. One user said, "I sent off an email with my resume to the first person who wanted to interview me in months. I clicked the wrong button and ended it with the mic drop. Well, there goes that job." That was a massive fail on Google's part. And it was almost funny that the guy sent it with his resume, but that could either be taken as really funny or really cocky. Who knows? Maybe the guy that is reading this resume will have a really good sense of humor, but it's kind of awkward that if the guy replies on the same email thread, the user will never receive the email. So even if the guy thought it was funny, no one will ever know. Which is almost funny. It is just on the brink of funny, but I feel kind of bad because the guy is jobless still.
See, I think that joke is absolutely hilarious. If they could have somehow warned people that they wouldn't get any replies back, it would have been funny, but I just think that the minion mic drop is great.
I think that they were trying to warn them. They really did. They tried to say, just so you know, like, you're ending this conversation with the mic drop. But the problem was that I don't think everybody got the memo. I didn't know about this on April Fool's, and I use Gmail. So do you.
Yeah, true.
So I feel like if the memo was gotten out even more, then it would have worked a little bit better. But because people didn't know what it was, they just hit send plus mic drop and kind of screwed them up when it's a work relation. But oh well, I mean, I think this guy's screwed. But Google did do another joke about virtual reality. They made a video about clear plastic glasses that were advertised as glasses that didn't get realer than this. I highly recommend watching it. I found it amusing. And with all this stuff about virtual reality and that being the next big thing, I think that this was complete gold. You saw the video.
I did. I think it was really funny. But, I mean, I don't know. It was funny, but I still like the mic drop better.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to differ with you. I think the virtual reality was not only eye-opening to kind of make you think, well, yeah, we are in reality. Why do we need virtually, like, reality technology? That's stupid. But it was also really funny because they made it super dramatic. It was like an Apple commercial, but better.
I do agree with you on that one. I thought that I don't even know how to say that word, but I thought that it being dramatic was pretty hilarious.
It was, and the actors in it were doing normal tasks. Like, there was one guy playing tennis, there was another clipping with a bush with shears. It was super, the actors were so good because they were so serious, and the glasses looked stupid, completely and utterly stupid, and they had such serious faces on. Like, it was the coolest thing they'd ever experienced in their life. I couldn't do that. I'd start laughing. Anyway, if you're just tuning in, this is DJ Edge on the informative News with a Voice on Penguin Radio. In our next April Fool's joke, Pimm's, a European alcohol, pulled their April Fool's prank by pairing with the Big Ben in London to create a new Pimm's O'Clock clock face, which was unveiled on April 1st. Some people reacted in outrage, saying that they defaced a national monument, while others found it hilarious. Obviously, it was a joke, and it will be taken down, but they wrote on social media that the Big Ben now has a sponsor. I thought this was gold. This was so good. This was way funnier than China. Those Europeans, though, got a good sense of humor. Cough, cough.
Well, see, I'm glad that a lot of people found this really funny, but if you didn't know it was April Fool's, like I did, until my fifth graders pranked me, I could understand why you'd be pretty angry.
I can understand that too, but I would be confused first. I'd be like, wait, what? And then I would be probably angry, but obviously it was a joke. Obviously some people did not take it that way, but they probably forgot it was April Fool's Day, just like you and I. And I definitely think it would be funnier if they got the Queen to sign off and do a speech about it, because she's really funny. And or they make a clock face about the Queen with her face on it and put it on Big Ben on all four sides. That would be hilarious. And there's all those memes about the Queen. So I feel like if they took one of those and stuck it on the clock, That would be absolute, like, comedic gold. It'd be
that
great.
That would spread like wildfire.
Yeah, it would. The entire world. That would make national news. That would be so cool. China made sort of national news. I mean, we found out about it. I know, it was kind of lame. But it was, this one was definitely funnier. But if the queen had gotten in on it, that would have been way better. It may not have been the most politically correct joke, but it would have been hilarious. Okay, wait. So I want to hear about this prank that your kids pulled on you.
Oh, well, it was just stupid fifth grader pranks. They said that they didn't have homework and that they were free to do whatever they wanted because the teacher said that they could. It was an absolute lie, but I almost believed them for a second because it was a Thursday.
Isn't that what they pull every day? Oh, no, I don't have homework.
See, they do, but they usually don't say we can do whatever we want. And so they proceeded to, like, go play computers and go play out on the playground.
So what I'm hearing is you got punked.
I did. Real hard.
That's great. A group of fifth graders punked Zoe. In our next story, BMW's April Fool's prank was the invention of revolutionary BMW baby shoes, which offer total stability in all conditions. It keeps them from falling over. I thought this was adorable. I wish that there was a video to go with it. If there is a video to go with it, and I have not found out about it, I need to get my hands on that. And I just thought it was a cute idea for an April Fool's prank. It wasn't funny or racy. It was adorable. Another good one would be to jazz up a pair of rollerblades and then make a commercial out of them and call them BMW's transportable shoes. They could make a super dramatic video about this and make it viral, and I think that would be hilarious. I've kind of written this in my head already. The introduction would be, introducing BMW's skate shoes, handcrafted Italian-made transportable shoes. And then you show some really cheesy 80s-style rollerblades and someone who does not look cool at all rolling down the street. What do you think?
Maybe you should propose that idea to BMW so they can do it next year for April Fools.
I vote yes. If BMW could hire me specifically for April Fools, I'd do it. I charge $50 an hour, BMW. I know you're not listening right now because this is a college radio station, but I would love to do it. Marketing for BMW, maybe I can get a serious job out of that. That'd be fun.
There you go.
In our next story, Bath Store launched a new app to drown out unwanted bathroom noises. The new Silent Loo app lets you choose from tap, shower, Costa Rican river, or tsunami and protect both your modesty and the planet with one simple to use solution. And the goal is not to waste water and to save you from embarrassment by drowning out your toilet noises. I think this is kind of genius.
When I saw this video, I thought it was absolutely hilarious because my cousin had admitted to doing such a thing to drown out his bathroom time.
All right, ready? Personal question. Have you ever done this?
I have not actually done that. It never even occurred to me.
Well, then what do to drown out your bathroom noises?
Well, I don't know.
Just talk really loud in the bathroom?
I sing to myself.
That's a lie. We live together. Anyway, I really like this idea. I feel like everybody's embarrassed about their toilet noises. That's a common problem. But if we use this, everyone would not be embarrassed about their toilet noises. But the only awkward part is you can't do this in a public restroom because the sinks are outside the bathroom with everybody else. This came across my brain when I watched this video.
So I guess now with this app, then you could use it to drown out toilet noises.
No, that doesn't make any sense because if you can use it in like a one stall, but if you use it in a public bathroom with multiple stalls,
everyone would know what you were doing.
Exactly. Unless everybody was doing it and then it would be normal. Yes?
So I see your point.
The goal is to get everybody on board with this so that it's not weird. Because if you're the only one to do it in a public bathroom, it'd be weird. Especially if you chose the tsunami button.
It'd be a little loud.
You think? But this app would especially work if you had a hot date or if it was the first time staying at your significant other's house, because that's always embarrassing and you don't want to them to hear unwanted noise, and then you have to awkwardly talk about it afterwards. And if you don't awkwardly talk about it, you have to awkwardly be silent about it. So let's just not be awkward and save the water and drown out our toilet noises.
Sounds good to me.
I vote yes on all of this. That wasn't even a funny prank. This was a good idea.
Life hacks.
Yeah, seriously. All right, stay tuned. We'll be up next with our next segment, Political Correction, on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
I used to be so happy, but without you here, I feel so low. I want you as you left, but I can never seem to let you go. Cause once upon a time, you were my everything. It's clear to see that time hasn't changed a thing. It's buried deep inside me, but I feel there's something you should know.
On the informative News with a Voice, this is DJ Edge, and you're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Let's go on to our next segment, Political Correction. In our first story, back in the early chapters of Donald Trump's headline gobbling campaign, the White House viewed him as entertainment. Officials tried to stay above it, frequently declining to comment with a smile, insisting they weren't going to respond to every statement made on the campaign trail. But as Trump's rhetoric turned into banning Muslims, insulting women, things began to change, leading to a series of statements in which the president of the United States flatly said that the Republican frontrunner was unqualified to be commander-in-chief. By the end of last summer, Trump was saying that African Americans were worse off under the president than they were alone before President Barack Obama. So the president began to dip his toes in all of this mess. Within weeks, the White House's own language started to ramp up, saying, "We betray the efforts of the past if we fall to push back against bigotry in all forms. Our freedom is bound up with the freedom of others, regardless of what they look like or where they came from or what their last name is or what faith they practice." This may not sound specific, but coming just after Trump proposed temporarily banning all Muslims from entering the U.S., everyone knew exactly what Obama was referencing. At the time, the White House and Obama was merely expressing American values. But the White House press secretary, Josh Earnest, was far less opaque, using terms like disqualifying, lies, deeply offensive, harmful, toxic, corrosive, grotesque, morally reprehensible, contrary, far-fetched, unrealistic, and counter to the Constitution. That's a lot of forceful words. And lastly, made a joke about Trump's hair, saying that Trump's general appearance is outrageous. Since then, the administration, including the president, has hardly been shy about wading into the very muck fest it originally vowed to avoid. Obama declared at a potluck last month that Trump was vulgar, divisive, and damaging. So it wasn't much of a surprise on Friday when Obama essentially again told the world that Trump isn't fit to be president. Speaking at a news conference following the nuclear security summit in Washington, this time Trump had attracted controversy by suggesting earlier in the week that it may be time for Japan and South Korea to develop their own nuclear arsenals so the U.S. can pull back from Asia. Obama said the person who made these statements doesn't know much about foreign policy or nuclear policy or the Korean Peninsula or the world generally. But Obama didn't mention Trump by name. Obama later said that I continue to believe that Mr. Trump will not be president, and the reason is because I have a lot of faith in the American people, and I think they recognize that being president is such a serious job. It's not hosting a talk show or a reality show. It's not a promotion. It's not marketing. It's hard. It's not a matter of pandering and doing whatever you will to get the news in on a given day. So yeah, during the primaries, people vent and they express themselves. But as you get closer, reality has a way of intruding. And these are the folks who I have faith in, because they ultimately are going to say, whoever is standing where I'm standing right now, as the nuclear codes with them, and can order 21-year-olds into a firefight, and has to make sure the banking system doesn't collapse, and is often responsible just not for the United States alone, but 20 other countries that have big problems or are falling apart and going to be looking for us to something. What first started off with the White House thinking it was a joke turned into reality as Trump's campaign not only continued, but began to make serious traction in the presidential race. They're now coming after him with full force because they're scared that he actually may win. Obama, as always, is staying cool, calm, and collective, and has confidence in the American people that they won't elect someone stupid. However, I am not sure about that statement. Trump has a followership, and these people believe in him, and he didn't hire them all to show up at rallies. They willingly came, which is a serious problem, considering he hates both Hispanics and women, and they must be really messed up people to be able to follow that. For anyone who thinks that there is no discrimination left in this country, Donald Trump's followers are living proof of it. They clearly see something in him, and that's frightening. I was convinced that there wasn't as much discrimination as there was before in this country, which is somewhat true, but think about it this way. Ted Cruz hasn't said anything like Mexicans are rapists or made derogatory comments about women, and he's losing. That shows you how much discrimination is in the Republican Party. And I use the word Republican loosely because I honestly don't think the Republican Party stands for this. I think that they stand for good morals and a different political perspective. But what it's turned into is something completely different. They have turned into outdated social morals and, some say, bigotry. Donald Trump is not helping this perception, let me tell you. By degrading minorities, he's doing just the opposite of what the Republican National Committee wants to do. They are actually gunning to close this gap between the party and minorities. So just let that sink in for a minute and let that settle. I think Obama handled that quite well, and his speech was eye-opening to me because he was exactly right. More people need to hear the speech. I never heard it, the full-length speech, but I think that it should go on air as a podcast or something, because our country is going to be a fine mess if Donald Trump gets elected. In our next story, in an unusually direct move, Senator Bernie Sanders on Friday called on Hillary Clinton to apologize to him for saying that his campaign is lying about her relationship with fossil fuel money. Bernie said during a standard section of his stump speech, "Secretary Clinton owes us an apology. We're not lying, we're telling the truth." Sanders was referring to a video released Thursday that shows Clinton angrily responding to an activist affiliated with Greenpeace and 350 Action, two climate organizations who asked Clinton if she will reject fossil fuel money from her campaign. Clinton said, "I'm so sick of the Sanders campaign lying about me. I'm sick of it." Sanders countered her remarks Friday, saying the truth is that Secretary Clinton has relied heavily on the funds of lobbyists working for the oil and gas and coal industry. According to an analyst, great job, Jennifer. According to analysis done by Greenpeace, Hillary Clinton's campaign and her super PAC have received more than $4.5 million from the fossil fuel industry. He added, in fact, 57 oil, gas, and coal industry lobbyists have directly contributed to her campaign, with the 43 of them contributing to the maximum allowed for the primary. And these are not just workers in the fossil fuel industry. These are paid, registered lobbyists. Clinton's 2016 campaign has taken more than $300,000 from people who work from those companies, according to Greenpeace. Clinton's campaign said Thursday that Sanders has taken upwards of $50,000 from the same individuals. Michael Briggs, a spokesman for the Sanders campaign, said that the issue isn't about individual employees, but rather lobbyists and bundlers for the industry. Brian Fallon, Clinton's press secretary, said, "We have not accused Senator Sanders of being beholden to the oil and gas industry on that basis, nor should he say that of Hillary Clinton." These types of moves don't make me trust politicians any more than I did. Bernie can't call Hillary out and be taking donations from the same people. That is stupid. And honestly, you never know what anyone's hidden agenda is, and human behavior is completely unpredictable. So even if you're 100% that either one of them is going to be a good president based on what they're saying, they could be untruthful, or they could just go ahead and do whatever they want anyway. No one knows. They could even accept money from these lobbyists and then do nothing about their issues. But in the grand scheme of things, neither of these two are doing anything as bad as Donald Trump, so we all know it could be worse. Yes, he supposedly may not be accepting money from lobbyists, but at least I have an idea of that Bernie and Hillary really want to help this country, and they are also not degrading groups of people. But they may be technically degrading the Republican Party, I just thought of, but they're not making rash, stereotypical statements. only to reinforce stereotypes. If you're just tuning in, this is DJ Edge on the informative News with a Voice. In our next story, Donald Trump is again declining to rule out launching an independent bid for the White House, a decision that Trump says he has not yet made, but one that could scramble the November election. Trump said, "I want to run as Republican. I'll beat Hillary Clinton." But when pressed to definitively say he would not consider it, Trump added, "I'm going to have to see how I was treated. It's very simple." Trump was waffled throughout the campaign about whether he would actually run a third-party campaign should he be denied the Republican nomination or, as he puts it, be treated unfairly by the Republican National Committee. In September, he signed a pledge to support eventual Republican nominee, whoever that might be, but backed off that promise at CNN Town Hall on Tuesday. Trump's two remaining challengers, Texas Senator Ted Cruz and Ohio Governor John Kasich, also distanced themselves from that promise, though he has led the national polls soon after he announced his bid, has won the majority of the contest so far. It's unknown if Trump will reach the 1,237 delegates needed to get that nomination. He has frequently floated the idea of bolting the party should the GOP establishment somehow deny him a nomination that he believes he has rightly earned. Donald Trump seriously needs to make up his mind. With the support he already has, I don't think that the amount of followers would change if he ran as an independent, but I think that the Republican National Committee should give it a shot and try to boot him off and see what happens. All he needs to do is violate some rule, and I don't know if there's any rules. If he gets kicked off and runs as an independent, I'm sure Republicans will vote for him because they don't want to vote for Hillary because they don't trust her. But I don't know if they can do this, but if they kick him out of the race entirely, Hillary would be bound to win against Ted Cruz. But this wishy-washy stuff isn't good for the party, it isn't good for the country, and seriously, just decide and stick with it. It's irritating, but that's what he does all the time. He's always so vague and has no idea what he's doing, and I can't believe that so many people don't see that. It's ridiculous. He doesn't know the first thing about being president. Mind you, neither do I. But he may be informed about the news, but he doesn't know how to handle situations gently and with grace, as the president has to. And we're going to end up having more enemies than we do friends if he becomes president. We should make a rule that if you have your own reality TV show at any point in your life, you cannot run for president. That should be another rule to become president. No reality TV shows, because we've already had Arnold Schwarzenegger as the governor here in California. We don't need another celebrity. That is the last thing we need in this country. In our next story, Donald Trump admitted to the New York Times on Saturday that retweeting the unflattering photo of Heidi Cruz was a mistake and that he would not do it again if given the opportunity. It was a rare moment of contrition for Trump, who has previously said that he has never asked God for forgiveness, and who told CNN's Anderson Cooper on Tuesday that one of the most recent apologies he could remember was to his mother years ago for using foul language. When asked if he was ever involved with a woman who had an abortion, Trump declined to answer. He phrased it, "Such an interesting question. So what's your next question?" Trump insisted his controversial comments to NSBNC host Chris Matthews, in which he said that there should be some form of punishment for women who get abortions if the procedure was outlawed, was a response to a hypothetical question. He said, "This was not real life. This was a hypothetical." A hypothetical. That's what he said. "This was a hypothetical. So I thought of it in terms of a hypothetical." So there was an answer that came from hypothetically. First of all, that sentence did not make sense. And you know what I think is crazy is the idea of some form of punishment for having an abortion. What are you going to do? throw them in jail. We don't have enough space for that. And we're just going to end up creating more messed up people if we do that. And he went and said in a different interview, well, the laws are set and they're not going to change. How dumb can he get? Abortion shouldn't be punishable ever. Even in your supposedly hypothetical land of Trump, you just said that to impress all conservative Republicans, but you'll never do it. No one will ever allow that. And you're not going to make any good on your word, but you know what? I'm sure they're thinking, these conservative Republicans, that you'll make good on that word, and that's what's going to happen if you become president. And that's why they're voting for him. I just don't understand why people care so much about abortion to begin with when they're not the ones having it. You don't have to go out and get an abortion. No one's forcing you. It's not like free candy. It can change and damage your body. And in some cases, you can become seriously ill or die on the table. But it's the choice of the mother. And the last thing we need in the world is more unwanted children. If you're against abortion, go out and adopt some kids, because they weren't aborted, but they're alone and scared in the world without a real mom or dad. I understand people think that these future babies are living beings, which technically they are, but so is bacteria and those bugs you squish when you're walking. And some of them are young too, but we don't think about that. There's a certain stage which people don't abort past because it's forming feelings and so that it can sense pain. But in the first stages, it's basically a parasite in your body, similar to bacteria, which you can choose to remove. It's not a person yet, but if you wait too long, it will be, and then I believe it's unethical. But no one's asking anyone to abort. You don't ever have to agree with it. And you can tell your children not to, and you can frown upon those who have, but that doesn't give you the right to take away a freedom because you don't agree with it. That's like people smoking cigarettes. It's not the most healthy thing to do in the world, but they still have a choice to do it. And choosing to have a baby is far more serious than that because it's life-changing. Those mothers should have a choice of what to do with their bodies and their lives. And another thing that's not fair is that just because women have vaginas does not mean that they're great mothers. That is there is no correlation between that. So why aren't women allowed to have sex and then say an accident happens and she does have a baby, but she's forced to keep it? That's not right. Men can go out there and have sex all they want. And if they accidentally have a baby, they can just ditch it because they don't have to stick around for the next 9 months. That's not okay. And I feel like abortion kind of evens the playing fields a little bit. You have a choice whether you want to go through that or not. You have a choice whether you want to raise a child by yourself, or if you actually have a father that wants to stick around, you can raise it with him or her. Whatever. I just think that people who get their panties in a bunch about abortion don't know the whole story, clearly have not been in a situation that they have had to make a serious decision like that. Mothers don't just make that decision. The normal person would not just say, oh yeah, I'm going to go get an abortion today. That's not the thought process. The thought process is painstaking and very emotional. That decision is not something that women just love to make. It's difficult, and you have to be able to respect that. And I think that anyone is going to make any decision that they want to make, and they should be able to. It's the same thing with plastic surgery. There is definitely complications and risks with plastic surgery, but do we stop people from changing their bodies because they want something better? No. that's a stupid reason. Like, that's not even a medical reason. They just do that for fun. And some men even tell their wives to go get plastic surgery because they want better bodies. It's the same thing, but not. It's the same principle of people should have the choice to do whatever they want to do. Those are just my thoughts. Lastly, just a reminder to all Dominican students, you can join in on DU Creates conversation by posting a picture of on any form of social media of what the Dominican experience is to you. DU Create is a group of students on campus trying to show you the real DU. You can also post a picture or a video of a hidden talent you might have using the hashtags DU Create and the real DU. Well, that is it for me. Have a wonderful rest of your day. This is DJ Edge on The Informative every Monday, 1 to 2. No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. It's 2 to 3. Catch me every Monday. I'll be right here. Hopefully not for the rest of my life. You're listening to Penguin Radio. Radio.dominican.edu. Tune in every Monday from 2 to 3 to The Informative, News with a Voice. This is DJ Etch signing off.